I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Well, hello, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show on this Saturday, the day before Mother's Day. I'm Laurie Cadden, and Lynn, you're here with us.
I am indeed.
So, what's happening this week?
We had so many things going on. You know, we ran into so many people that we knew, and all over the place, because we were all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Like you know what.
Yes, but I didn't say that. But anyway, we went to see, and I'm hoping that people are still going to go, because it was wonderful. We went to see Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And
you're beautiful.
We went to, where did we go?
Posh.
Posh
for
before
dinner.
That. And we had a different meal there. We didn't do the usual full course meal.
No.
We all had smaller bites,
except for your boyfriend.
Your husband
had a full meal.
But that
was a full meal, man.
I know, but what I don't understand is he said he wanted the crab cakes. I thought they were appetizers.
No, there's a meal, and they were.
He really enjoyed it.
I could tell.
He did. He loves them. So he had the crab cakes. I had a salad with some chicken, and you had your own deal.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new
on the menu. I guess it's heirloom. They weren't heirloom, but tomato. I don't care what kind, because I love tomatoes.
Good.
With mozzarella and on a bed of arugula, and then I added, they have capicola with it, but I took that off and asked them to put a piece of salmon, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
And it was huge.
Yes, it was huge. That is really unusual for a portion.
Oh, it was delicious.
I'm sure
really,
it was.
Really, real. There's never been a time when we've eaten there that things are not up, like are always at the high level.
Yes.
Always. And then Meyer ended up with that favorite sandwich,
the salmon BLT. Right.
Loved it. And you had it. So, yeah, we were lighter, which was a good thing.
Yeah,
we all enjoyed it.
And so we didn't end up going over to the
and feeling
and
full
feeling
and,
like
yeah.
you're going to explode.
Except for Pat.
Well, that's normal.
But
Posh
packs them in Tuesday through Sunday because listening to us, you'll hear it. You're listening on Saturday morning. There's still a Saturday mat and a Saturday evening and a Sunday mat and a Sunday evening. So you have four more shots at going to see it. So do yourself a favor. And if you can, go to the Cultural Center or call 344-1111 and go in and go to see it. It's incredible.
It's really wonderful.
It was a wonderful story, which I didn't realize all those things about her.
I didn't either.
The music and how many songs they actually wrote and other people sang. It was wonderful.
It was good. I really, really enjoyed it. I liked it, and I thought she really sounded like Carole King.
Yeah.
Her voice was very much like that.
And having two daughters very early. I mean, finishing college, high school 2 years earlier, 16, she graduated from high school. Brilliant, brilliant lady. Mm-hmm. And she was the young girl who played. I thought she did a wonderful job.
I did too.
The whole cast was great. So go see it. Beautiful. It's the last
wonderful.
Performance of Broadway theater for this season, so.
Yeah. We don't know what's coming up yet for next year.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I'm sure they know some of it, but I don't.
Okay. And we saw a lot of people there.
Yes, it was packed
with
people.
We have to say hi to Lori and Frank Nacido.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw.
Whom we saw at the end of our night.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And then we have to say a shout out to attorney Mickey McDonald. He was there.
Yes, he was. And he was with the Haggerty's, Matt and Chrissy, and Mrs. Haggerty, and we saw John Carney and Pat Barnes, and we talked to them. We saw them in two places.
Yes, we did, at Posh.
There were a lot of people.
Yeah, and, Ida Castro.
Yeah, Ida was there. Dean Scheinman and Kelly.
Yes.
From Kelly Scheinman from the medical college.
Yes.
Yes.
And why do I have this problem? Laura?
Oh. What?
Duchesse.
Duchesse. Yeah, I didn't see Laura.
To say her name. Yeah, both of them were there. And we just saw lots of people. And so it was nice to do a shout out there. And then where else were we?
As Lori Nacido said, we could do our... We could do our show right there since we were both there. And how about Frank outing Lori about her picture on the mural in Pittston?
Oh, yeah.
Which we're going to have to see because I did not know that. Did you?
No, I did not.
So no. Go see Lori on the mural, downtown Pittston.
Yeah. And wasn't there somebody else we said we ran into that listens to the show?
I can't remember.
I don't know, but it was good.
I told you that Evie said she ran into a couple ladies who said they listen
That's
all the time. And we told she heard it on the show that Evie's roast was wonderful, which it was, which we talked about last week. I'm sorry, it was my straw. I have ink all over my hands. And
How did you get that?
I'm from this pen, and I don't know why. I can't stand it. Anyway, so... What else?
There's just nothing. I'm trying to think of other things that I know we did, and I don't know why.
Well, you were away.
But when I get here, I just have this thing like I don't remember. No, that was last week that I was away.
I thought you had to go away again one night or go somewhere for a night. Or is that this week and you were telling me about something?
Next week.
Okay.
Next week.
I
know we went some places, and I remember people saying that they were listening to the show, and it shocked me because I didn't really think that those people would be listening. But
those
so
people.
To all of you out there who listen to the show, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
And there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about that I think were interesting. When I was in the airport... In Charlotte, killing some time before I got the flight to Houston. This one was very interesting because it was a front cover of Money Magazine, which I haven't seen or picked up in probably 10 years. But the cover was something called the Millennial Money Whisperer. And the funny thing is, in my world, millennials are people that generally do not seek the services of a financial advisor. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. And that's because they have conditioned, that's probably too strong a word, but they're used to getting most of what they need online. So the use of what we call robo-advisors and people that are automated, that you call an 800 number and you speak to them, you can get the support you might need very inexpensively, and that's all they really want. So the interesting thing that I thought about this cover article is this is a woman whose name is Vicky Robin, just like the bird, and she had no idea she'd become a millennial icon. The 72-year-old co-author of the 1992 bestseller Your Money or Your Life was recuperating from a hip replacement early last year when a young man she'd met at a sustainability event months prior told her she was popular on a Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T, forum about financial independence. Now, Reddit is one of those, I forget what they call them, like a news group or something. I'm sure our listeners could probably straighten us out on this, but at the time, she was confined to the pullout couch of her Whidbey Island, Washington living room and its view of the Cascade Mountains and Puget Sound. So she had plenty of time to explore the online community where, to her surprise, she discovered she was something of a celebrity. It was stunning, Robin says. I'm an elder in a community I didn't even know existed.
I love it.
Robin's fans belong to an impassioned, mostly millennial movement known online as the FIRE community, F-I-R-E, or simply FIRE. It's an acronym that stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. An adherence tracked down to the penny where their money goes, mindful of how much each purchase will really cost, with the idea that dollar amounts should be equated to hours of life energy, in Robin's words. So if you make $300 a day and you want to buy a $100 pair of shoes, you ask yourself, are those shoes really worth nearly a third of a day of your precious time on Earth? Now, to me, this is...
It's a little too much for
editorially,
me.
Editorially, I'm just saying this is bizarre.
I don't like it.
All right.
What's
the first
the time
part,
to figure that crap out?
I don't know. As the first part of the acronym suggests, the goal of the movement is to gain financial independence, meaning you're no longer relying on paid employment to keep afloat. It's no coincidence that the ranks of the FIRE followers are spreading like, well, wildfire right now. The stock market has been very good to investors in recent years, especially to those who understand the magic of compound interest. Unemployment, now let me just say, again, editorially, the magic of compound interest has nothing to do with returns on stocks themselves. That's more relative to bonds and fixed income. But so be it. The person, obviously, who wrote this is not a financial planner. So, and the do-it-yourself spirit of a generation that can learn anything on YouTube, and you've got ripe conditions for a movement. What's more, we all know that a traditional retirement is a thing of the past. No one works for 40 years at the same company anymore and retires to a front porch with a gold watch and a pension to show for it. All true. So instead of tweaking the traditional model around the edges, these young people are saying, let's just blow up the whole concept of career and retirement and start from scratch. The Financial Independence subreddit has more than 350,000 subscribers around the world. A directory on the blog Rockstar Finance counts nearly 1,600 personal finance blogs, many dedicated to early retirement. Grant Sabatier, I'm pronouncing the French, I don't know how he pronounces it, 32 years old, was living with his parents in 2010 and eking out a meager post-college existence when he came across her book, Your Money or Your Life. It completely changed my life and trajectory, he said. It is still my favorite book of all time. He says he's amassed a fortune of more than $1 million in 5 years, primarily through lucrative web design side gigs, founded Millennial Money, an online community dedicated to personal finance education and entrepreneurship. So I don't really understand whether there's a space here that doesn't quite say he was living with his parents in 2010, and then he read the book. So if he amassed this fortune of $1 million, did he do it because he was still living at home with mom and dad?
And wasn't paying expenses
right,
elsewhere.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
I don't know.
So anyway, I think it says that he got the money because he had this web design side gigs and founded Millennial Money, an online community, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So say Robin is an unlikely financial guru is an understatement. She didn't spend any time on Wall Street. She seems more inclined to pass along her favorite kombucha recipe than the name of a favorite mutual fund. Now, this is the line I like. She speaks not in the empathetic bursts of Susie Orman.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the melodic voice she uses to sing soprano in a local choir. Her look these days is Golden Girls chic, and while she would seem to be like a blast to live with, she lives alone above two tenants whose rent more than covers her housing expenses. She hasn't worked for a traditional paycheck in 50 years. After stints as an actress in a film production in New York City, she parlayed an inheritance at age 23 into a modest income that sustained a groovy 1970s lifestyle in which she lived in an intentional community, which is kind of like a commune, but less marginalized and more centered around mutual values. She taught herself practical skills from auto repair and hunting to making booze from dandelions. A do-it-yourself strategy to become self-reliant by acquiring know-how that will enable her to tread lightly and travel cheaply through life.
Jeez.
This is
good for her. It's fascinating. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
And my name is Lynn Evans. I am managing director of a company called Women of Substance LLC. That's a financial planning firm dedicated to the special needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And so Mother's Day is approaching tomorrow when you're listening to us. So, I was just on the phone before we came into tape, and who was I talking to but none other than Miss Nottigal Martin, one of my dearest friends and your dearest friends. As a matter of fact, I was about to say to her, Lynn just said we haven't been with the Gilmartins in a long time. Let's do something. And then we got sidetracked. So I'll tell her when I go back.
Okay.
But we were talking, and I said, I will be in because, you know, I have to get a couple things for Mother's Day. So I said, I'm going to make a big, let's just talk nice about Nott and Company and that beautiful store of theirs on the corner of Marion and Kapaus.
Yeah.
And they do a wonderful job, and they have so many pretty little things, all at price points that you can get for your mom. Stop in if you haven't been over. Again, it's always so important to shop small and local if you can. So if you think about it, and they're open all day, as you're listening, think about it. Go over and grab something nice if you're thinking of somewhere to go. That's where I will be going, Lynn, just so you know, to get a few of the things. Actually, I have a, do you know that daisy pin I wear, that tin pin? So I got both of them because I have two at Nott, and there isn't a day that I don't, that I wear that somebody doesn't compliment me. So I said to her, pick, do you have some pins? And she said she has some really neat ones. Not that she has those necessarily, but she has some good, I love pins.
I know you do. You have tons of them.
And I thought I'm going to, so she said, yeah, I'll pull a few for you. And but they have everything. I mean, scarves I get, whatever you want. So. Yeah. And I have my Christmas gift still there.
What?
Yes. Well, from Mrs. Barbetti and Meyer, they bought me lamps. And it was, you know how icy that I was afraid to carry. So they said, well, we'll leave them here. So I have to pick them.
Okay.
And they're really cool. They have, they're like a, you know, a regular, like, what would you call, jug bottom. And it has two pomegranates on each side, like chunky, and the base is like a yellowish color. And then there's like green leaves, and the pomegranates are like a real pretty cranberry. They're beautiful.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I have to get there. So big shout out to our friends at Nott and Company. And we have to say hi to Katie and to Michael, too, not just Nada, because it's run by all three Gilmartins.
That's right.
So, and, you know, Mike Gilmartin and I every Sunday take the quiz in the newspaper. You know how
yes, he does.
The two of us, we take it every single week, and then we report in Sunday morning what our scores are.
Okay.
So the last several weeks it's 10, there's 10 questions, and I've been getting 9 of them. I've only been, a couple weeks in a row, I was getting hundreds, and then.
Then you slacked off,
yeah,
girl.
I'm only getting 90%.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Annoys the heck out of me, but, so yeah, we like to do those. We're probably the only two who do that become competitive, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And you have to read the newspaper.
Yes.
Obviously.
Well, so. You remind me of something that Patrick always says to me every night when I get into bed. I usually prop up the pillows, and I have a crossword puzzle book, and I do those just to empty my brain, you know, so I can go to sleep. And every time he says to me, why don't you do the New York Times crossword puzzle?
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't really feel like that kind of mental stress right now to try to really, it's a, I like the easier one so I can just get it done and I say thank you. So he said to me, well, you know, my friend Bill Haight and I did the crossword puzzle every morning on the way into Manhattan.
I love it.
And he said, and I did it in ink. I said, oh,
isn't he a feisty one? Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice. So
do you ever do the New York Times?
I do. But
I can't
get past Wednesday.
I can't even imagine doing crossword puzzles because
Well, I think I've
done them. It's like my question of the day with Alexa that I ask every day.
Yeah.
And I love that because it really does. You have to think about it. And I love when I know the answer before she even gives me the four.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Well, my grandfather used to do it.
The New York Times?
No, he used to do crossword puzzles. And I don't remember where he got them from. But he always had that. And he had crossword puzzle dictionaries. Because you would get the clue, put the clue in,
and
look for the answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I still have some of them with his name in them. You know, he wrote his name in them. And it's just so funny because I realized that's where I started doing it. I never thought about, you know, crossword puzzles were just something we did. And then every Sunday when we get the crossword puzzles in the Scranton Times, but we used to have the Scrantonian and the Tribune.
Times. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, or whatever that was. So there were two of them, and it would be a fight to see who got the crossword puzzle first.
Well, you know, Meyer does the jumble all the time.
He
can look at the words and figure them right out.
Oh, I think
where
that's
I
great.
Go, what I do is I go to the answer. I go to the answer part. Like it'll tell you, it gives you the question, and you have to get the answer. So I usually can figure out the answer, and go backwards to do the words. Where he does the words and then figures out the answer. I do the answer first and work backwards.
That's whatever it is. It's so good for your brain.
Yes, it is very good. As a matter of fact, I was the other night. I thought, let me look at it now, and I thought to myself, no, I don't have the mental ability today to, like, you know, because it really it's taxing trying to figure it. No matter what of those word games, or puzzles, you got to use your brain. And if you're not in the mood,
8 of them on my phone.
Oh, you do? See, I don't have any
ones.
Of that. I should do
and
that.
And I just do that because it just, you know, it's just mindless.
It isn't,
but it gets harder and harder when you get through these things. The easy ones in the beginning make you feel really good. Then as you progress, they get more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. You know, it's a challenge and I like doing it. And again, I said it's because it
what I would love to know about people who excel at crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, is their lexicon as good as their ability to answer those questions? You know what I mean? Because some people use beautiful words and they can use them properly. I wonder if they speak in the words that they know the answers to in those puzzles. Because a lot of those words are tricky.
No, I would say no. There are a lot of
words. They're better spellers than anything, do you think?
Well, not even spellers. They're just after you do crossword puzzles so many years, there are certain words that always pop up that I know what the clue is. I know what the answer is. I don't know what either of them mean.
So
you just learn that when you see that clue, you know what the answer is, but I don't know what either of them mean. So it's not anything that I don't say that you would incorporate most of that into your ordinary vocabulary, but there are words that clearly, you know, it's a stretch. It moves things out.
I love that when people use, like when I read Maureen Dowd's columns, I will underline a word that I have no idea what it means. And I will Google the word just so that I try to use it in my own mind in a sentence so that even if I'm not going to use it, I understand what the word means because she uses some million-dollar words. Do you ever read her column?
I do.
I love her.
Yeah, there's another guy.
And she really does.
What's his name?
Tom Friedman?
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. Mm-hmm. He has great command of the language. But there's another guy.
Frank Bruno?
No, he's also on television as a commentator, and he has an amazing command of the
language.
George
Will?
He's good. Yeah, but no, this guy's like Green something. I can't think of his last name. But I've seen him around all the time. He's just really good.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And the other person I think has a really, really good way of writing. It's not necessarily command of the language, but the ability to put concepts together and use a lot of the language is Chris Kelly in Scranton Times.
Oh, yeah.
He really does a great job. I love to read his columns.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's good. There we are.
Sometimes any of those columns, though, sometimes you get a little, you know, it's your own, their own take on something and it's spun in that direction.
Yeah.
Like one thing I don't like that's being done a lot with that is the bashing of the lack of a piece, somebody who has a GED. I don't think they, just in general, you know, some of the stuff lately with Bob Lesh and some of the stuff and then pointing that out. Like, you never know why somebody had to leave school and then get a GED or Bob Sheridan, speaking of that when he used to be on it. Like, I would never make fun of, regardless of what they are, or look down on people, because I know many people who have and have succeeded beautifully in spite of that.
Yep.
Not having it and getting it. So I just don't like to go there. That's all. But that's just me in my own little corner in my own little chair. That's the Silly Cinderella. Do you want me to sing it?
I can sing it with you.
Oh, there we go.
It's one of my most favorite.
It was the with first Leslie movie. Ann Warren.
Yes.
Yes, and Alan Quartermain from General Hospital was the prince.
Yes.
That was one of my, that wicked stepmother and the sisters were horrible.
Yeah, they were.
And then they were all trying to, you know, get in on, after her, on her good, you know.
Her good fortune.
Good fortune. They were in on it. And speaking of that, coming up, the royal wedding next week, next Monday.
Yeah.
When is it? Next Saturday?
Saturday morning at 7 o'clock our time.
Yeah, the 19th. It's 7 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm. That's why a couple of places are holding brunches to celebrate.
Well, it's an American marrying a prince. It's cool. So it is. It's just like such a...
We've done that before.
What?
Wasn't she called Princess Grace?
Yes, she was, and I love it. I love her. Well, anyway, we're going to... Yes, yes. East Falls area, as a matter of fact. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening this morning to the Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right up next with attorney Barbara J. O'Hara.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company that I just started a couple of years ago called Women of Substance, LLC. It's designed to take care of the special needs of baby boomer women in the world of financial planning. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with us is our guest expert, attorney Barbara J. O'Hara, who is a partner with Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara on Drinker Street, 1421, is it, Barb? Drinker Street, East Drinker Street in Dunmore. Barb has been practicing family law at the end of this year, will be 38 years. So she knows a thing or two, because she's seen a thing or two.
How cute are you?
Oh, man. That's so good.
That was cute.
We just won't say who that was for. So hi, Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good. Always nice to be here.
We love when you're here.
So,
Barb, that seat. Look at that, Lynn. Look.
I know. It's okay.
Lucas is giving me the look when I said it. He's in there going, "Just what? Is there a problem with the seat?"
It's fine.
Giants can fit on these seats in here today, can't they?
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway,
seats
go ahead,
higher
Barbara.
Than
We're
I am.
Sorry. I know.
That,
you're
that's
cute.
Okay. So the topic of the day is... What's the perfect age to get married at?
Oh,
and
is there
I
a
did some
research.
The research says 26.
No kidding.
And their rationale is statistically, people who get married in their teens are very likely to divorce. Mm-hmm. People who get married over 35, your chances of divorce increase 5% every year after 35.
Because?
You're too set in your ways.
Well, I think there's a decent... That's a very valid argument. mm-hmm. then you become set in your ways. Mm-hmm. And that...
You should know that, Lynn.
I do.
Okay, so that, let's face it, you know how you want to live, and you start living with someone else, and they think everything you do is stupid, and you start criticizing each other.
Do you think the tolerance level is less?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think in your mid-20s, you're more receptive to that, mm-hmm. and more receptive to, you know, you were raised that anybody who uses Colgate toothpaste is stupid, and here you are marrying a guy who uses Colgate toothpaste. Mm-hmm. And now, why would you do that, uh-huh. you know?
Can I just chime in? When I yes. first got married, my husband bought Cheer laundry detergent to do the laundry, which, of course, we only used all in my family.
Oh,
and my I used it because I thought, okay, but yeah. My whole body broke out with tiny little red. I was allergic to it. So I said, I'm sorry, I have to go to what, but it's that simple. I mean, those are the things you're used to, and now right. you're combined right. and you're trying to figure out who's the right one.
And I think you get married in your mid-30s or 40s, you can always say, hey, I did fine
exactly.
before him or after or
you have
before
more ability
her,
to do that.
Then you say, I could be autonomous mm-hmm. and I don't really need this.
Right.
And you get into a bad place and you're more likely to leave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the statistics say mm-hmm. for very young and
what's the
and
age
older.
Of what's the percentage of staying together at 26 getting married? Did they have that?
No, they basically said that was the perfect age okay. according
well,
to
I
this.
Well, I was 25.
Really? And I was 26.
Were you?
Yes.
Right on.
Yeah.
And
right
Lynn,
on the
we know Lynn, how old were you?
48.
Wow.
So you're defying the odds.
Haven't I always?
Yeah.
That's kind of a story of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that anecdotally with your
even today they say that.
Even today.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean,
how old's your daughter, Barb?
Daughter got married at 24 and she's now 28.
Okay.
Yeah. And my son's getting married at 31. Oh, actually, he'll be 32 by the time he gets married in September.
See that?
So, yeah.
But what day is he getting married?
September 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to a wedding on September 15th, my birthday, which I think is really cool. But then I found someone
big party.
Else said same thing. They're getting married. Only they're out in Utah, so I ain't going out there. But it's just interesting when people say September wedding, that weekend is always the prime weekend because it's the weekend after Labor Day
mm-hmm.
and everybody's ready to settle back into the, and it's still beautiful weather.
Yes.
It is.
So it's a good time. But
it is a good time.
Anecdotally, to answer your question, when I look back at the people that are divorcing or are divorced, that has occurred during the time that they were clients, I can't say that there's anything that follows that. Because all of these people were married in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that are very happily married and been celebrating 40 and 50 years together. And others, they're on their third marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But they all got married around the same time.
Right.
So. You know how that old line is that marriage is like a diamond? In the beginning, you're as close as you can be, and through changes and kids and everything else, you're as far apart. And after they leave and things start, you start coming back together. Do you find in your practice that most of the divorces happen within that stretched out, the biggest part of the widest part of the diamond of someone's life, or no?
To be honest with you, you find it in each category. So you have some people that truly happens. And you can well understand that. You have all the demands of taking care of young kids
and
how difficult that is.
Yeah.
And just the physical strain of it all, trying to work and you know, juggling kids and daycare and all the activities and everything. And, you know, it's kind of amazing that you stay married.
Right.
And then you get through those years and you do see a lot of people kind of drift apart. And actually now I'm seeing more and more of the gray divorce of kids are gone. I don't want to stay with them anymore. And I want to have, you know, the next two decades of my life being happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I see them in every category, to be honest with you. So
okay.
So I don't know. So that leads me to the next question, the age-old question of what's more important, to find the right person or to be the right person? And
what do you mean? What's the question?
I remember this in high school, and my kids brought it up recently. Is it more important for you to find the right person
or to be the right person? I get it, yeah. Which means that you put greater expectation on the other person if you're the one who is looking for the right person, I think. Mm-hmm. And then otherwise, it's less expectation on you and more on the other. Or the opposite, however I just said that. But
you do see a lot of people thinking, I'm looking for Mr. Right or whatever. And then you look back and say, okay, fine, you've gone through a succession of guys. Nobody is right. So is the problem with the rest of the world? Or do you look at the common denominator? Quite honestly, a lot of people don't have a lot of introspection.
No.
Or don't have a lot of ability to look at their life and their patterns in their life, of looking at this and saying, okay, fine, I always go for this kind of a guy. Number one, is that kind of a guy good for me? Do I marry the same guy, same type of guy? And that's, you know, among divorce attorneys, we see that all the time, where you marry the same kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one client that married the same guy in the same kind of plaid shirt. And you look at this and say, not only does he look alike, he dresses alike, and here we are again.
Yeah, you do find, I can say that I think the two people, like of recent that I'm with, are totally different people. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, well,
But then again, I always think it's what you do with that, like giving yourself that break between being with someone. Is like, you know, those people who can't be with a man or a woman, so they don't give themselves that space alone between a breakup or a divorce.
Yeah.
And I think it's crucial that you do.
They're serial daters.
Serial daters.
And they just keep dating. And
We also know serial daters who are married too.
True.
We don't go there.
That's really not
But I remember some wise woman saying to me once when she was choosing between two men that she chose one because the other one was too easy. She didn't think it was hard enough. And that's
what?
A very straight
being
that. With the one that was easy, that it shouldn't be that easy. You needed to struggle a little.
Okay, so why present that challenge to yourself?
That's exactly what I'm saying. How bizarre is that comment?
Mm-hmm. Life doesn't have to always be hard. And sometimes when a relationship is hard, it's not a good relationship for you. But you do see people that keep challenging themselves.
Right.
And you say, you're trying to fit a square peg
into a round hole
here.
Right.
And this doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that.
Yeah.
So over the many, many years since I remember this conversation in high school of, you know, be the right person or find the right person. And I went to Catholic high school and it was a conversation.
That explains everything.
And, you know, my 16-year-old mind versus my much more mature mind, you look at that and say, I think it's a little of both. Because you see people that maybe they found the right person, but they weren't mature enough, or they you know, were going through a tough time themselves, either drug-wise, you know, addiction-wise, or that they weren't mature enough or whatever, and they met a wonderful person, but then screwed up with the relationship because they weren't mature enough themselves.
Right.
And so you look at all these things, and I think it has to be a combination of the two. Of being the right person, but also finding somebody good for you. What's the matter?
No,
there's something you're thinking about.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking it's right. You're right. You're probably right about it. I'm so now, like when you think about everyone who wants to get married, and it's like, oh God, and yet it's such a way of life.
I'm missing this.
No, it's just my tainted.
Oh, okay.
You know, thought process on marriage. That's all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But it is still there, regardless of what I say.
I have a client. Well, the poor man is gone now. He's passed. Aww. But he was married four times.
Oh, geez.
And every time he would go through the divorce, he would say, "I'm never doing this again."
Mm-hmm. And then every client of mine says that.
Oh, yeah. And then I get a phone call 6 months later. I met the most wonderful woman. Yeah. I said, "Are you serious? Do I need to take you out and beat you
but
up or something?"
Why do they have to get married? Why is that the logical
point?
Next
I don't
step?
Know.
Because there's a romanticism about that.
About marriage, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll be
had,
married,
had
we'll be
children,
happy
and it'll
with
be better.
All of these.
Oh,
so he's got three families.
Of multiple generations.
Yes.
And decades.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that's a challenge to support everybody.
It certainly
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
That's
and a
impossible.
Challenge for you as a financial advisor
oh,
to
my
say,
gosh.
Okay, we have babies,
yes.
we have kids in college,
and we have grandchildren.
And we have grandchildren.
Yes. How do we do all this? I don't know.
Yeah.
Loaves and fishes.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's the best answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it.
Because really and truly, you look at all this and say, there's only so much money.
Yes.
And there's only so much you're going to be able to do with that. And you keep having children in you know, with multiple spouses. You're placing a lot of pressure on yourself. And, mm-hmm. you know, when do you retire? Well, if
that's
you continue to have babies when
no.
in your 50s and 60s, don't expect that.
No. And then, you know, everybody gets a piece of that retirement plan
right.
when they go through the divorce.
Yes.
So every time he gets some steam, some momentum going in his investing in 401k plans.
Oh, he has
it
some
gets
steam
zapped.
Right.
It gets zapped.
Yeah. We're still in the financial, right?
Yeah we're in the financial piece. Never
Sorry,
mind you.
Sorry, my mind goes in other directions.
So, but... No, but the point is that it just keeps going on and on and on. And every woman that he marries is significantly younger than mm-hmm. the one before, and they all want to have kids.
Nice.
So he, oh, sure.
Instead of
yeah,
saying,
right,
hey, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be looking for a woman whose biological clock is ticking.
No, nope.
Maybe I should be looking for someone.
I think it's more
that's
his.
Beyond that.
More his.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Barb,
you know,
how does someone
good.
Get in touch with you if they're interested in talking to you?
My phone number is 570-344-7171. I practice family law in Lackawanna, Luzerne, Wayne, Wyoming, and Susquehanna.
Yay, and happy Mother's Day to you,
happy
Barbara.
Mother's Day.
To you.
Yeah.
And happy
yes.
Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are mothers, who act like mothers, who stepmothers, who believe they're mothers, whoever you are. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And to my mother, Ann Cadnar, and I love you, Mother. Happy Mother's Day.
And to my mother, Agnes O'Hara, who's 94 years old.
Yay.
And now that she's in her 90s, we're allowed to say her age.
Okay.
Oh, so
good.
She's very proud of being 94.
And Lynn, I saw
and
Shirley.
She's as
don't
sassy
call
as could
Shirley.
Be.
I know.
Love it.
Very nice.
Well, enjoy. Have a good weekend. Be safe. And please be nice. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile. Get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.